This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, what's all the fuss about senior living? But before we get started, of course, I want to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing. In the past, you know, I used to say, how are you doing with your real estate investing? Right now, we're in the midst of this crazy, crazy season here with this virus. Hope that all of you are doing well, that you're staying safe and healthy. This is just a absolute crazy time, and I know that there are people on many different levels, you know, those that are struggling with their health and in the midst of this, or family members that may be impacted by this, and heaven forbid, you know, somebody that may have passed that you know. Boy, just everything that, you know, trying to keep the social distancing and trying to work together and yet apart in the midst of all of this. It is a little bit difficult, and I'm sure we're all kind of dealing with our own families and our issues. I know those have been, there have been a lot of people that have impacted financially. Some folks out of work, some people that have been hit with their stocks and other things too, investments. There's a lot of dynamics going on. Just in my own family, you know, I'd mentioned that my wife was on a quarantine, and now she's not, and she's actually back working with the elderly, like she really loves doing, and she's doing good. In fact, I'll share a little bit about that later on as we get into the show. But I just hope you guys are good. I want to know I'm praying for you, that you guys will be okay and protected from this virus, and that we'll get through this thing. People will get back to work, and hopefully we'll have a healthy life again. I am going to hit here a real quick tip of the week. This is basically the pros and cons of working with family members. Just a couple of key points. If you know you're maybe putting together your real estate business, or maybe you're expanding and you're thinking of adding family members, just a couple of pros and cons to think about. This is actually courtesy of our friend Ken McElroy in his amazing book, The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. Pros are, it's easy. This is definitely the easy way. If you got a brother-in-law, or, you know, a brother or sister or somebody that's an accountant, you know, boom, you've the chore's done. You've found that person. You don't have to go shopping around trying to find somebody that you can trust. Hopefully you can trust your family. Also, you know, keep the peace. And some families, if you do hire somebody that happens to be someone close to you, or, you know, you hire somebody else and you've got somebody close to you that does that same job, you know, you can kind of get away from any kind of family resentment and so forth. The low cost or no cost, often family members will give you a break, and that can help out, especially if you're just starting out. Sometimes they're going to charge you more. No, just kidding. But so those are some pros. Some cons, loss of objectivity. It's hard to have the tough conversations you need in business sometimes with a family member, you know, and then sit down and, you know, pass the turkey the next day. It can be a little tough. Also, loss of bargaining power. You know, I usually try to evaluate rates and fees annually with suppliers, and that's tough to do sometimes with family members. The risk of loss of relationships. Families have sometimes been destroyed over bad business dealings. So, just a few things to think about. whether you are thinking of working with a family member or maybe they're going to invest in a deal, you just weigh it out. I think there's, tends to be, it just, your family best. And so that was our tip for the week. Well, let's get into our topic. What's all the fuss about senior living? Well, I'm sure you guys have been seeing a fair number of emails, newsletter notices, and so forth about some webinars that we've been doing on senior living. And you're probably thinking, what is Bill up to now? Okay, now if you're a listener of the podcast, I'm sure you're probably, probably wondering why I'm even talking about it here. And because I want to, just kind of share why and how I kind of came into this. I'm not going to talk about the deal because really I can't talk about the deal. It's a 506B. And if you've listened to the show, this is something we can only share with people that we know personally. I'll tell you what kind of spurred this. I'll be honest with you. All of a sudden I see all these, I send out a notice about this webinar, and all of a sudden I see all these subscription cancellations. I'm going, what? Why are these people doing this? So I was kind of thinking, I don't want to be offending anybody, but at the same time, I do want people that would like an opportunity like this to know about it. So, we're just trying to inform people is all we're trying to do right now. And so I'm giving you a little background here because it's something that's pretty personal to me. And I'll explain, the background. As most of we were missionaries in Haiti for 12 years, caring for orphaned, abandoned, and at-risk children on the streets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Some of the most incredible years of my life, some of the hardest years of my life, too, at the same time, but just an incredible experience. But when you go into the mission field, one part of that service is that you, and it's probably one of the hardest parts about it, is that you're separated from family and the people you love back in the States. And it's not just, for a short period of time, for us, it was years at a time that we didn't get to see family. And it was a tough aspect for me. It was at times it was really, really tough. And we got to fly over, but it wasn't very often that we were able to do that. Now, while I was in Haiti, both of my parents passed away. And that was tough. I just kind of felt really bad about missing that season of their life. I would have liked to have been with them in those latter years, and that was tough. But I was also assured I had my other brother and sisters that were taking care of them, and they were in assisted living, and both were well cared for up until their passing. And so I felt good about that, and I was able to visit them in the care homes that they were in, and they were doing great. But it hurt me to miss that season in their life. And then to add insult to injury, when my father passed away, I was in Haiti, of course, and Haiti, as it often is, was in the midst of a major manifestation or rioting in the streets that was occurring. And as a result, the airport was closed, so I couldn't even fly home to attend my father's own funeral. And that hurt a lot. It really, really hurt me. So when we eventually returned to the States, both of my parents had passed away, and I was able to catch my mom's funeral. I didn't get stuck in Haiti for that, but I did miss my dad's. And when we returned to the States, it was for a sabbatical where we were going to decide whether or not we were going to stay in the States or not. There were a lot of important decisions to make at that time. While we were back in the States, my wife's parents became very ill. And so ill that they really required 24-hour care. They needed somebody to take care of them. We had had different caretakers. I guess when we were in Haiti, they had different caretakers that had come in and out. But, it was one of those things. It's outside people, and we felt like, as family, we could give the best care. So we hadn't found a place yet to live. So we decided, after discussing with the other family members and so forth, that we would stay with them to take care of them. And we ended up living there for, more than 3 years. And during that time, we saw them go from, fairly healthy and able to walk around and even go out and do things to, moving into convalescence and at a point confined to bed and then also to hospice care within that short period of time. last year, Suzette's mother passed away, and her father at 93 is still alive, but bedridden and still in hospice care. We've since have moved out, of course, and they have a full-time caregiver that lives there, and there are hospice workers that come in and out and check on him, make sure he's has what he needs. And it's just really interesting because, you know, we while we were in Haiti, it was I never saw anything like even hospice care. I know that probably existed, but there aren't convalescent homes. There aren't, you know, senior living type places. I mean, if the old get sick, they're cared for by family. That's what the majority of people of Haiti do. Or sadly, they end up dying alone, and which we've also experienced. And so it's very different, but it's all family based. And so for us, it was really a very natural thing to be there and to be involved. You know, coming back to America, I just, you know, we weren't gone that long. I mean, 12 years and had a long life. I knew what was in America, but it just the contrast to how blessed we are and how the old here have a very smooth and very comfortable transition usually to that passing in their lives. And it just really, I'll tell you, it just, the whole experience had a tremendous impact on me. It just left an indelible impression in all of our lives. And for me, having not been there for my own parents, I kind of live vicariously through the experience of, you know, caring for Suzette's parents, and to be able to serve them was, for me, it was a true honor. And my wife, she thrived. She has always loved to serve others, but to see her just glow as she poured into her parents, whom she hadn't really spent much time with over the last 12 years while we were in Haiti, it was just beautiful to see that. And she just loved it. She just absolutely loved it and still loves it. She still continues to see her father up until the virus hit. And she's been, you know, stuck away from the house, like a lot of us have been. It wasn't just us either, though. It was our children as well. They were moved, and our two adopted Haitian kids had never even met their grandparents. So for them to live with them and to be able to spend time with them and laugh with them and dance with them and just all of that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, they're Cuban, and of course the kids are from Haiti. You can literally see Cuba from Haiti. they're all in the Caribbean there. So it's a lot of culture is the same, and there are a lot of connections. You know, they love the Latin music, and the food is very much the same. It's just really neat. But they really grew to love their grandparents a lot, and likewise, their grandparents grew to love them. And my other children as well, some of them were very young. My son Elijah was 3 or 4 when we left the States to go to Haiti. So it was a great time for them to sort of reconnect and experience that time with them. The whole experience, you know, although it had its difficult times, was something that we really, really grew to cherish, and something we will always remember. Even though we moved out, my, you know, wife, you know, still wants to continue to serve her father as we can safely go there. My wife was under quarantine, of course, and so she didn't want to take any risks whatsoever. But what's happened is, you know, not only has it affected us, you know, emotionally and in a lot of other ways, but my wife, Suzette, you know, has since actually become a full-time caregiver and is now actually caring for other elderly people in their homes. And my 25-year-old daughter, Ariana, she actually used to sub a lot for Suzette when Suzette and I had to go somewhere, she wasn't available or whatever. She ended up getting her CNA license, her nurse assistant license, and is actually doing the same thing as her mom right now. And now my oldest son, Jordan, actually, who was in the banquet business that just totally stopped, has taken to caregiving as a means to be able to, you know, to generate income for himself. And so we've got all these caregivers in the family working with the elderly and those who can't care for themselves. It's really, really neat. And the whole process, though, we've seen a lot of different things. We've worked with different companies that, you know, we saw good care and we saw some not so good care, different organizations that handle their clients differently. And we, you know, were able to experience, you know, what quality care is. And it made us think a lot about our own future. And I'm sure there's plenty of you listening right now that have also thought about that. You know, what's going to happen? You probably, I'm sure there's plenty of listening that are in the same boat that we were or are, that were, you're taking care of or having to make decisions about the care of your parents. And, you know, what's going to happen, you know, when we reach that age or when our parents, you know, maybe there's some younger folks out there thinking, you know, when my parents reach that age, what kind of care will they have? I always think, too, you know, I don't want to be a burden to my kids, although my kids are all saying, yeah, we're going to take care of you, Dad, don't worry. You know, at the same time, I'd love to be in a place that's well-managed and, you know, the kids can come and hang out and do things as well. So with the virus, you know, we saw just how some of these places just, boom, they just exploded with the, you know, folks that were catching the virus. And yet there were others who were unaffected, you know, and it's hard to say, you know, was that a result of management or something else? It's really hard to say. But that seemed to be, and still seems to be, one of the key areas where the growth of the virus occurs. As you know, I've been involved in apartment investing, for quite a number of years, and it's been a challenge. It's been hard to find that, you know, places that meet my criteria, as well as getting the kind of returns that, you know, I would want my investors to have as well. And so there's been a little bit of challenge there, but yeah, I've still been pushing forward, and we have been finding deals here and there, but it's definitely a different market than it was when I first started. When a friend of mine and a frequent guest on the podcast shared with me what he was doing in senior living, it really sparked some interest, especially in light of the experience that we had just had. To me, it wasn't just another deal. What really impressed me was the fact that he and his partner that are working on this really are more on a mission, and to really not just make money and not just to make deals, you know, that, but really to provide quality care for people. There's a whole story I could go into about that, and how his partner was looking for a place for his own parents, and how he was so disheartened by places that, yeah, they didn't smell right, and the care was really questionable. And he had just sold off a very successful business that he had, so he actually said, "Well, I'm going to build a place for my parents," and that's kind of how it started. And he went into, you know, has 17 of these places he's already built. But you know, as I dug in deeper, I saw the numbers, the economics, and growing demand and stuff like that. I was hooked. So if you see these emails coming across your, you know, I won't blast anyone. I'm trying not to, but I'm really excited about it. I'll be real honest with you. I'm really excited about it because it's something that touches me in not just a deal way, but the deals looks amazing, but that's not what I'm looking at. I really see this as a mission too. And that, you know, to be able to do this, to be able to provide quality care for the folks that are in that area. And as you see this baby boomer bubble moving further and further, as we get older and older, the need for that kind of care is going to increase and increase and increase. And that, you know, to be a part of being able to provide that kind of good care is really what got me all excited. So next time, you know, you see this little note about a webinar or something like that, you know, just, you know, give me a break, okay? Don't cancel your subscription to our newsletter or the podcast. If you want to hear about it, hey, we're just making a lot of opportunities for you to hear about it. That's all. Hopefully I won't annoy you too much. I do enough of that just without trying. Anyway, that is it for today. Please note, you know, everything I talked about here, although, you know, me just kind of pouring my heart out here, it's all available in our show notes in the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, "What's All the Fuss About Senior Living?" Well, until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.